It is the last plague before the big plague, the plague of death. It's a sampling, if you will, from God himself. It's a plague of darkness. Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who is continuing our series in Exodus on the 10 plagues. Today, we turn our attention to chapter 10 of Exodus, verses 21 through 29, the day the lights went out. The significance of this is really quite profound, as we'll see. Please join us and be encouraged in Christ as we understand Christ to be that light by which all men shine to God's glory if we are found in Him. Otherwise, we do find ourselves just like Pharaoh in darkness. With more, here's Pastor Chris, today's program.
This morning, we're considering the ninth plague of darkness. A much more serious plague. They all are serious, of course, but these are intensifying. And this morning we come to the plague, of course, just before the end. So this is going to have some real great significance all throughout history when we look at this plague of darkness. This is the word of God. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take them to serve the Lord our God, and we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "As you say, I will not see your face again." May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. One of the things that Jesus said will take place after the tribulation of those days in which we live is that the sun one day will no longer give its light. In other words, he is going to turn out those lights for good. I've often thought, do we ever think about what it's going to be like or what it would be like to have absolutely no light? We walk into a room, we sit in a room now, we hit a light switch and voila, there's light. We take all of that for granted, of course, but what a blessing it is that we have lights to turn on. We don't even know how we would handle it if the lights that we have created went out. You know? The electricity, our computers, our lives would stop as we know it if our lights went out. You ever thought about if God turned out his lights? Can you imagine the problem of that? What if the sun went out for good one day? I raise that this morning because in the scriptures, God often uses darkness to describe the coming day of the Lord, the coming day of judgment, that ultimately they are going to be people outside of Jesus. The Lord said over and over, they're going to be cast into outer darkness. Darkness is often used in the scriptures to describe the spiritual condition of people's heart. You have all this use of darkness. Well, as we come to the ninth plague this morning in Exodus, God turns out the lights on Egypt. He hits the switch. And in the midst of this, little Goshen remains lit up. It's a remarkable thought. It's an imagery to try to get. Little Goshen and the people of Israel are in the light. But all around them, thick darkness, the lights have been turned off, thick darkness has filled Egypt. It's a powerful plague. It's a unique plague, maybe one we have not given the attention to as we should. But think about it. It has the effect this morning of making everyone ask, if that's true, if that's going to happen, am I in the light and am I headed toward the light, remaining in that light, or am I in the darkness, heading ultimately, permanently for outer darkness? That's the ninth plague of Exodus. That's the question. God is judging Egypt with the plague of darkness to teach, if you will, the world for the need of his light. How to find that light. That's the ninth plague. What we have before us is this precursor to the final plague of death. So notice this has run its course. It has gotten very serious. And it's no surprise that what we find just before the end, just before the final judgment on the nation of Egypt, final judgment, which is death, is that the lights go out. The coming of the Lord in scriptures is usually preceded by a commotion of the stars, the luminaries, and the sun and the moon. Revelation says this, that the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Think about how this applies to Pharaoh. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish. Before I answer the question this morning as to what this plague all meant, it's really important to understand what has happened to Pharaoh. I really believe he is the key to understanding this. He represents that nation. He represents those people. And what God is teaching us about him gives us some context here of why we have come to the end, why we now have reached the end of the plague cycles, ultimately now next to end in death. We see that at the end of this plague this morning in verse 28. When Pharaoh says to Moses, get away from me. Did you notice how abrupt and strong that ending was? Get away from me. You better take care that you, now think of the arrogance of this, you never see my face again. If you see it again, you die. Moses says, as you say, it's done. Over. I don't think we realize what a decisive moment this was. This is the end. Pharaoh just himself sealed his doom. You better never look upon me again. That's the end. This was last call. You ever thought about that? Last call? That day, essentially, the lights went out forever in Egypt. Even though this was just 3 days, the lights were out forever in Egypt. Of course, in the promises of the gospel, the Lord would open that door to Egypt again. But I mean for that nation at that time. What the Bible calls reprobation is really presented in front of us this morning. We don't like that word. It's a tough word. It's a word that we've not given a lot of thought about. But here, we have it presented in a sense that Pharaoh himself has given himself over. Ephesians says that occurs, of course. Ephesians says people do that when they harden their heart. It starts kind of, we might think, innocently, and it works its way out by drifting to a hardness of heart and giving oneself over. Ephesians says having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being, here it is, past feeling, they don't feel any more of what they do, they have given themselves over. Key verse. Pharaoh just said, I'm done. It's over. No more. Moses, you better never gaze on me again. It's a sobering point of the passage. The light is now gone at Pharaoh's own word. Egypt is now, at this point, past hope. The next thing is death. I'm going to come back to this, but I believe that helps us understand and set the some kind of context and help for what's going on in this plague, as it is the final last call for Egypt. It's the final last call for Pharaoh. The Lord is using darkness here to show us what ultimately is the outcome. that people in the darkness and walking in the darkness, it's going somewhere. You don't stay neutral. There's a path people walk. And this morning, the text is explaining what that darkness is like. The text is explaining where it's leading people. And it's so important that we then think about how the text shows us the light, coming to the light, the necessity for remaining in the light. And those are the things I want to consider: what the darkness is like, where it's leading, and the call to come to the light. Look at verse 21. The Lord says there to Moses in verse 21, as we open up this ninth plague, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." Wow. By this point, Egypt is systematically destroyed, by the way. I mean, the thing is in ruins. It has been a complete reversal of creation. If you look at it, it's kind of come full circle here. A complete reversal of creation, the waters, the beasts, the insects, the creation, and now light and darkness. All of this has been reversed on them in ultimate acts of judgment. And everything now, the waters were hit, the creatures were turned against him, and now the luminaries that were in place, the Lord has just summoned them and just flipped the switch. There's a reason God chose darkness next to last, didn't he? Moses, on numerous occasions, told us that one of God's purposes specifically was to knock over and to destroy the gods of Egypt. That's what these plagues are doing. The God is assaulting their gods. When we come to this, darkness may not seem that great. When I first read it, I thought, oh, darkness, you know, we could handle that a little bit, couldn't we? Lights going out, maybe? A couple days? No one really, when they come to this text, no one really thinks of this as a bad plague. But we really should begin with, this morning, thinking about what they believed about the light. That may help us a little bit, because darkness may not seem as threatening as what we've already experienced. I'm going to suggest it's the worst of threats. Egyptians and Egypt was obsessed with the sun. This is not surprising. Everyone knows this about ancient Egypt. Like everyone else, there were a whole bunch of gods connected with the sun. But let me just say, throughout history and every primitive civilization, there have always been people, there have always been leaders, there have always been nations that have idolized and worshipped the sun. Whether it be the Aztecs or the Incas, you could go through many, many, many who bow down to the sun. I think even of one of those groups, it may have been the Aztecs, who took an obsidian knife every year, and they went out and they took a victim, they took a person, and they would cut out the heart, the beating heart, and hold it up to the sun. There were a whole pantheon of gods in Egypt surrounding the sun. Aten was the deified sun disk. Atum was the god they believed who caused the sun to set every night. He is sometimes depicted as a black bull carrying the sun disk between his horns. But nobody held as much esteem, as much greatness, as much honor as the great sun god, and I'm sure you've heard his name throughout history, Ra. Amun-Ra, the sun god. I really don't know how to properly convey how powerful this god was to the Egyptians. Every morning they would rise and they would sing a praise song to Amun-Ra, just like the Nile. There is none like you, Ra. You know what they thought? The life-giving power of Ra, every time they saw the sun, has risen upon us today. Engraved in Egypt were the words, Ra, I am the great God who came into being of myself, who has no opponent among the gods. The real offense to this idolatry is who they believed was Ra's son. Think about this. Do you know who Pharaoh was in Egyptian religion? The incarnation and the son of Ra. Interesting. He was most of all a sun worshiper. Not only every morning did he go out to the water, but he went out before the sun, and he had so much affection for this God because this God was his father. Pharaoh was known as the son of Ra, the personal embodiment of the solar god. Pharaoh alone on earth was known as the living representative and incarnation of the sun god. Think of the offense of this for a moment. Think of the offense and think of Satan, what he's just done. I mean, you want to talk about an antichrist? They've uncovered that this was said about Pharaoh. He looks upon Ra when he rises. Be joyful, entire land. Good times have come. The Lord has ascended into all the lands, and orderliness has gone down to its throne. The king of upper and lower Egypt, Lord of millions of years, great in kingship, just like Ra, who overwhelms Egypt with festivals. The son of Ra, who is more excellent than any king. We have also found this. The name of the king is in the sky like that of Ra. Nobles rejoice when they see him. The populace gives him praise in his role of the child. As one pastor noted, this is what children in school were taught to say about Pharaoh. That was the secular education. That's what Moses got, by the way. A son of the covenant was trained in the secular schools to say that about Pharaoh. Remarkable. By the way, it shows God can protect your children. See what the devil's doing? What an attack on the triune God when we look back at this. What an affront to the eternal Son of God, through whom everything was made, and to whom all glory and honor, dominion and power belongs forever and ever. Amen. There, sitting on the world throne, was known as the incarnation of the Lord of heaven and earth. Satan had set up a man of sin. Satan had set up an antichrist. Remember, 2 Thessalonians says, seated over all that's called God, or that's worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. That's an antichrist. You're starting to learn your God now. What do you think he's going to do in this situation? Flip out the lights. Just what he does. He hits the switch. Moses, I want you to walk out there, and I want you to stretch out your hands toward heaven. Put them up. And all of a sudden, as Moses does that, thick darkness comes. It goes dark. Now we know nations were talking about this by this time, that a temple of the light would be set up as a banner for the nations. But here's my point. Darkness was something that was going to be talked about in all the nations of the earth as God's judgment. This plague of darkness came at the end of a long teaching session now through all of these plagues about what? The human heart. The human heart. What should be the effect? You want to say to Pharaoh, what are you doing, man? Stop hardening your heart. Don't be stubborn. Stop refusing him who speaks. You realize the entire Bible applies this? Jesus used darkness extensively in his teaching. Extensively. In fact, in John chapter 12, you have the end of his teaching ministry to the Jewish nation. And then you have the events of the cross taking place, his leading up to that Passion Week there. But in John 12, he ends his teaching to the Jewish nation. And John 12 ends his teaching. You have essentially his last sermon to the Jewish nation. What do you think he said in his last sermon, last call? In John 12, we read that Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden. What were his last words? Put it this way. If this was the last sermon that Jesus ever chose for you to hear, it could be, by the way, what do you think he'd say? What would he choose to say to you? If you knew this was the last sermon you're going to hear, would you hear it differently right now? Did you pay attention? Would you still nitpick? I don't think so. Would you really listen? What would you do differently? Would you have regrets? Would you say, I wish I had listened? We're all used to this. We come here every week after week after week. We're here, we're challenged, and this goes on, and it's always gone on since the beginning of the world. This has always gone on. God has preserved his church, and he's preached, and he's preached, and he's preached, and he's preached. Here's his last sermon. Here's his last words to the Jewish nation. Last call. A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may become sons of light. Last sermon. It's Tuesday afternoon when he said it. Judgment day is the cross a few days away. All the while, Jesus has been among them doing powerful signs, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's raised the dead, and he's been saying, come to me, I'm the light. Come to me, he says. Final plea. Language of walk in the light means come to the light, believe in the light, stand in the light, enjoy the light, be forgiven by the light. Well, last call for Egypt. Here it is. Before permanent darkness would overtake is you have this 3-day window. And that is the divine decree. That is what he had allotted left, 3 days. The next thing it says is that deep darkness came over all the land of Egypt for 3 days. It was a darkness that could be felt. No one could move or rise for 3 days. Next to death, this was awful. They had 3 days to taste what it was like to be away from the presence of God.
That is a very sober look at this ninth plague that we find here in Exodus chapter 10 and our continuing series on the 10 plagues of Egypt. Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
Have you thought about how wonderful the grace of God is in your life, that you know the truth and are in the light? Have you thought about it? You never earned it. You were never good enough for it. You never did enough that God said, wow, that's such a good son, I'm going to give him light. You were darkness. And in his wondrous love, he took us and conveyed us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son in love. That's the gospel. And now, every time the Lord speaks of you, he wants you to make sure you're his Goshen. All over the New Testament. For you were once darkness, but now you are light.
And that is tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Now, before we continue on in our series of the 10 plagues of Egypt and start looking at this last plague, we'll take a break Thursday with a very special Thanksgiving message from Pastor Chris Gordon. We trust you'll join us then. And then Friday, we'll begin our wind down of these 10 plagues. That's all. Again, starting Thursday and then Friday. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.